fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This week I'd like to talk about the cost of following Jesus. And I've been inspired coming out of this Easter season, time from Easter to Pentecost, when the church takes us through the readings from the Acts of the Apostles. The story of Peter and John, the apostles, healing the crippled man at the Gate Beautiful, which I've read many times, and I'm sure many of you who are listening to the program have read it. For some reason, it just grabbed my heart this year in a way that it hasn't in the past. I've always been inspired by it, but I kind of can't get it out of my mind. I can't get it out of my heart. Just thinking about the courage of the apostles and thinking about how living in difficult times is the norm for much of Christian history. So many, not beginning with the apostles, but so many brothers and sisters throughout history have lived in very difficult circumstances and have to the point of even shedding their own blood for the faith. And we're living in a time in our own country where there's a shift, it's changing. The country's becoming more secularized. The country is becoming more openly hostile in some ways to Christianity and trying to limit it and limit its influence. And the momentum seems to be moving further and further in that direction. I mean, we're not in the place where having to face what Peter and John did, but I think it's going to be, in the days ahead, it's going to be more difficult to be a believer in an open way, in a public way. And I think everybody who is a follower of Jesus, everybody who's baptized into Christ, everyone who has made a decision in their heart to really follow him, needs to really come to terms with things that Jesus taught about what it's going to cost to become his disciple. Because as Jesus made clear, he said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross. Part of what it means to take up your cross is to hear the words of Jesus when he said, don't be surprised that the world will hate you because it hated me first. There's a dimension of the world we inhabit. You know, again, I've said many times in the program, we know the biblical sense of the world is different than thinking about creation, the beauty of God's creation. What God created is good. All of it's good. But there's a fallen dimension in the world we live in. And the whole world, as St. John says, is under the power of the devil in some way. That there's real forces, real spiritual powers and forces that resist the will of God. And what that means in particular is that it resists the proclamation of the truth of the lordship and majesty of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, that literally Jesus, all power and authority belong to him, and everything in creation was made by him, was made for him, and he came in the flesh to deal with all the opposition to his kingdom and to his rule, and the clock is ticking on all those who oppose him. And he's going to ultimately, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, is he's going to destroy all resistance to the kingdom of God. And he's going to bring together all those who want to follow him and want to live in his kingdom under the grace of the power of his Spirit. And he's going to definitively, ultimately destroy forever the kingdom of darkness that's resisting his rule and his reign. So in the meantime, we're living in this time in human history between the two comings of Jesus, the last hour, the final age of human history, as the Catechism talks about it, as St. Peter himself spoke about it in Acts chapter 2. And this is a time of mercy for the world, right? We've talked about that many times. The mercy, the offer of God's love to the whole world for the salvation of every single person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believed in him would not die but would have everlasting life. So we're in this time of mercy. And in this time between the two comings of Jesus, the battle continues between the two kingdoms. And the battle is over souls, over the eternal destiny of people. And the question is, where do we stand? Each one of us, every single person who walks on the face of this earth, has one fundamental question that's going to make all the difference for all eternity, for their lives. Where do I stand in relationship to God's offer of salvation that he gives to us in his son, Jesus Christ. It made me think about a wonderful essay by C.S. Lewis called The Weight of Glory. If you've never read it, I encourage you to do it. It's one of the most beautiful things he ever wrote, very powerful. And he talks about, in The Weight of Glory, that each and every one of us, he says, are on this razor's edge between being able to hear God's voice ultimately that says, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I don't know you. And the question is, which voice will we hear? I mean, which of these words are we going to hear from the Lord? And he says this in The Weight of Glory. He said, I never knew you, depart from me, is a possibility. He said, in some sense, as dark to the intellect as it is unendurable to the feelings, we can both be banished from the presence of him who is present everywhere and erased from the knowledge of him who knows all. We can be left utterly and absolutely outside, repelled, exiled, estranged, finally and unspeakably ignored. On the other hand, we can be called in, welcomed, received, and acknowledged. We walk every day on the razor edge between these two incredible possibilities. And to be the last one summoned inside would be both glory and honor beyond all our merits, and also the healing of the old ache that's within us, this longing and desire to be complete, to be fulfilled, to be brought in, to be brought into the life and the presence of God. So Lewis is putting his finger on the struggle that goes on in this world. We're on that razor's edge, and there's two kingdoms, and two kingdoms are calling and moving and marshaling resources, you could say, to influence us in one direction or another. And so living in this world, there's hostility to the Lord's call, and that comes with a cost. And as the days go on here, I think in our own society, our own culture, we're going to see that cost rising. And it's actually a good thing for us, because in many ways, the church is in a place of lukewarmness in the country. Not the entire church, but large swaths, large segments of the church. I mean, statistically, baptized Catholics, the majority of baptized Catholics live no differently than people who don't even know Christ, who aren't even believers, who don't even believe in God. Now, those who are strongly committed to Christ, who are walking as his disciples and day by day, they live radically different than the world around them. But that's not that big of a percentage right now. So many of the baptized are just kind of in a place of lukewarmness or drifting away from the faith, or are very worldly in many ways. And so when the church is in that kind of condition, she loses her salt. Her light goes dim. And what the church needs in this hour is purification. We all need it deep down. Purification, what? So we can grow in holiness, be conformed to the person of Christ, be radically, passionately in love with Jesus, to have his spirit burning within our hearts, to have his priorities front and center in our lives, to be all in with Jesus in his church, and to be captivated by him, to be set apart for him, to seek holiness with all our heart, and to engage his mission and passion to save souls. And so we see the story here of St. Peter and St. John. After the day of Pentecost, they're walking into the temple, and they see this crippled man at the gate, beautiful. He cries out to them. They're looking for money. He reaches out. He's been there day after day for a very long time, and Peter looks at him and says, look at me. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I give you, you know, what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And we know he was healed and brought about a great response within the temple, and gave an opportunity, the sign and the wonder, gave Peter an opportunity to proclaim the source of that sign. The source of the miracle is the risen Jesus Christ. So he preaches Christ, and he preaches, you know, the death of the Lord, the resurrection and exaltation of Jesus to the right hand of the Father. He calls people to repentance again, and it stirs up all these Jews who were in the temple to pray. And the religious leaders hear about it. They don't like it. They arrest them. They bring them in, and they tell them, don't ever talk about him again. And in the second part of chapter 5, you see the high priest decided out of jealousy and anger to throw the apostles in jail. And then that night, the Holy Spirit comes, helps, and releases them from jail. And the next morning, the guards come, the doors are all locked, but the apostles aren't there. and they're trying to figure out what happened. They don't know what's going on. They scramble, and then a report comes that the apostles were back out in the temple proclaiming the gospel, talking about Jesus, speaking the name, the very name that the high priest said, don't ever speak his name again. And so you could pick it up at one point. The high priest, they bring the apostles back in front of him, and the high priest says to him very clearly, we strictly charged you not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Put yourself in that situation for a minute. You know, the high priest and the leaders had power, real power. I mean, they could put you in jail. They could whip you. They could flog you. They could do all these different things. And it's intimidating to stand in front of that kind of authority that's threatening you aggressively. And so Peter and John are being threatened, and he's really enraged, the high priest. And he said, we strictly charged you. You were not to teach in his name. And you ignored it, essentially. And he's scolding Peter. He's angry at Peter. And so are the other many of the other leaders that are with him. They've got military force there, really. They've got their guards who are armed, the whole bit. It's a very intimidating scene when you think about it. What's Peter's first response? We must obey God rather than men. Peter was completely clear where his priorities lay. He had the fear of the Lord in him, a healthy fear of God. Most people would be trembling in the position that Peter's in right there, because these guys could follow through on their threats and make life extremely difficult for Peter and for John and the rest of the apostles. But Peter wasn't afraid of them because he understood who Jesus was. He really believed what he preached. He understood that all power and authority belonged to Christ, and that Jesus said he would have to suffer just like Jesus did. And Peter wasn't afraid because he knew his destiny was directly connected to the Lord himself. And Jesus had blown open a door through death to enter into heaven, and he made the pathway that the apostles were going to be able to walk. Peter goes on, he said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Now think about that. The high priest said, I don't want you to speak about his name, and I don't want you to talk any more about how he died and blaming us as having a hand in it. And what does Peter do? He preaches the name of Jesus, and he says, you killed him by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The next verse says, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. They were enraged at the apostles and wanted to kill them. Friends, there's so much more the Holy Spirit wants to give us in terms of courage and love to be able to withstand resistance and to lovingly proclaim the gospel for the salvation of the world. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.